Hello and welcome to another exciting artist spotlight from Chimera Theater. I'm Brooke Ballum, the director of multimedia, and joining me today we have two very special guests. We have professional stage manager extraordinaire Skylar Nakazawa and the queen of felines, Kit Kat. If both of you want to say hi, that's okay.
Hi.
Yeah.
She's purring, but you can't hear it.
Yeah, Kit Kat's just too big for this. I'm actually very honored she gets to join us. But I'm very happy that you're here to talk to us today, because, like I said, I don't want it to just be about, you know, actors and directors and about the artistic side. Because you definitely, as a stage manager, you go at it more from the, you know exactly what I mean. You go at it from more of the, not the business side, but
more like the technical practical. And
there we go.
Yeah, side of things.
So I wanted to start off, as I'd start off with everyone, how did you get involved with theater in the first place?
Theater in general, I remember in high school I took the drama classes.
Yeah.
And then in the senior high I took stagecraft class. But how I got into stage management specifically was one day I was sitting in the atrium on a spare block, and the musical theater teacher and / band teacher found me, and he's like, "Oh, Skylar, what are you doing right now?" I was like, "Oh, I have a spare." He's like, "Excellent, follow me." And he's like, "I need you to meet the new, not new, but the acting teacher." She had been on sabbatical for a year, so she didn't know any of the current students. So we go into her office, and he's like, "I found us a stage manager." And I was like, What is a stage manager? Can you explain that to me, please?" So they needed someone to do this for their production of West Side Story, which I was like, "Oh, stage managing sounds right up my alley," because it was just a lot of organizing and like tracking things and being a little OCD. So I was like, "Oh, this
relevant
sounds great
to your interests."
Exactly. So I did West Side Story that year, and I had the most amazing time. I actually did it with Andrew Cooper. And then after that, I just kept stage managing for the musical theater class and the acting class all that entire year, and I had the greatest time. And so it changed my perspective on what I wanted to do after high school.
Yeah. What was your original plan?
I either wanted to be a high school history teacher or work for the government, particularly CSIS, as an analyst.
Both of those make sense.
Yeah.
I could see you doing either of those.
And so one reason why TRU was so appealing to me is because, like, I had this year of doing stage management, but I was like, well, this is my only experience doing it. I don't know what it's really like elsewhere, or, you know, how much I'll actually like it when it's not just with this group of friends that I've had throughout. But TRU was the closest place where I could do both history and theater and figure out what path I wanted to take. It was also great because, I don't know, I always like the idea of having a backup plan.
Yeah.
Especially with how everyone talks about theater. Though I know most of the time it's in regards to acting. But, you know, when you don't have that much theater experience, or you're coming out of high school and you have all these big dreams, you're like, well, what really applies to me in this, and what applies to, like, the general?
It's the same as any other field. You have to muscle it for yourself. You have to make your own way. And it's just harder because it's based on things that are out of your control, like what color your hair is as an actor. As a stage manager, I feel you guys have more marketable skills. So even if theater didn't happen, you could transfer these skills to other fields, whereas acting's a lot different that way.
That's true, though. With acting, it's great because you have those interpersonal skills. And so lots of other disciplines will turn away students unless they have an arts background. Like, for nursing, they prefer if you have some sort of theater or that training, because it gives you great bedside manner. Or, like, there's other sciences that
teachers
apply to that
probably
too.
Too.
Yeah. Well, it's, and that's all, like, the public speaking and helping get students engaged.
Yeah.
Whereas I can, what I normally do, because my family and different friends are like, "Okay, so what is a stage manager?" And it's such a large, encompassing field that it's like, if I told you everything I did, you'd be like, "What are you doing with your life? Like, that doesn't make sense." So the way I describe
it... So you babysit objects?
Yeah. Well, how I describe it best is that I'm the best personal assistant you could ever have, and I do it for 20 people at one time. how friends of mine in theater explain it is that they help the director and the actors to facilitate the artistic process.
That's really vague.
See, that's how I feel. And it doesn't give people an idea of what you actually do during the day. Whereas, I feel like if I describe myself as a personal assistant, they're like, okay, well, you can do...
That gives them a sense of day-to-day.
Yeah.
What your actual days look like.
Well, because I do lots of, like, scheduling and making sure we have items for each rehearsal, but that's not the main... Like, that's not everything we do.
Yeah.
But it is a portion.
Yeah. I don't know, I feel like calling stage managers personal assistants diminishes them a bit, because that's more talking about the rehearsal process, when once the show starts, you guys run it.
Yes.
You guys run the show. There we go. I know how to talk.
Well, it's also interesting to me that I never fully understood through university. It was until apprenticing and being in more the professional world how stage management is different.
Yeah.
And how there's titles like stage manager and assistant stage manager. But really, the assistant stage manager, yes, they're helping assist the stage manager, but we're in charge of two completely different fields and areas of the production. Whereas the stage manager does more of the scheduling, making sure everyone's safe, running the show. Like, during the show, they're calling the cues, they're running fight calls, they're making sure that everyone has what they need.
Yeah.
Whereas the ASMs are backstage, running around, making sure people are where they need to be, if they need to do quick changes, if they need props, if set pieces need to be moved, if there's special effects that need to be done. Like, it's far more hands-on, that one.
So, when you came to TRU, there was no point in you're like, I want to do acting stuff. You just did that because that was part of the department?
Yes.
Yeah.
I tried to get out of it, actually. I remember talking to the technical theater professor, as well as the department head, being like, so I want to stage manage, but I don't want to act. Can I get a theater major without doing this? And they both, not laughed at me, but smirked and said no.
And who was this at the time?
I believe it was Wesley that told me this. And Cheryl Delling. Like, but Robin at the same time also was like, you need to do the acting. Which, well, it turns out I'm extremely grateful. At the time, I hated it. There was times where I'm like, okay, well, doing the scene in class isn't bad, or doing director's festival.
Except when you get a black eye.
Yes, except when I get a black eye.
So doing director's fest was pretty good, and...
Yeah. Well, and it helped me understand actors better and what they go through. For example, when I got the black eye, I remember getting off stage, the technician being like, are you okay? As tears are running down my face. I'm like, yeah, I think so. And they're like, okay, do you know where we are on the script? I'm like, I think so. They're like, okay, breathe. And then they push me on stage. And I was like, I remember in my head being like, I'm going to kill them later. But then being on stage, still like eye hurting, like, oh my God, have to do the scene. We weren't even halfway through the play. And then being like, oh, all the words are just coming out of my mouth as I'm thinking the separate thoughts right now. And I remember that being the weirdest feeling, to be able to, like, say all of my lines, do my blocking, while my thought process is thinking ahead.
Yeah.
And I was like, do actors do this all the time?
Yeah.
And I was like, that is a great skill, but it also the creepiest feeling if you've never done it before.
Well, yeah, it's like when there's a, I don't know, a prop on the ground that shouldn't be on the ground. You have to go through the scene and say your lines, so that whole time you're thinking, how do I fix this? When can I get over there to get that?
But that's being a good actor. Sometimes there's actors who something goes wrong, and they
shut down.
Yeah, they either shut down, they either, it throws them off, or they just ignore it. And it's like, that's going to be in the way. You need this over here, or the set's going to rotate, and it will get stuck on it. And so sometimes, like, if you're backstage as an ASM, you have to be like, can I get to that? If I can't get to it, who can? And figure out, like, you always have to know where the actors are entering and exiting and when they're doing it, so that you can troubleshoot better.
Yeah.
That's what I love about ASMing, is because it's like, so many things happen on the fly.
Well, you're also there.
Yeah.
Like, you get to be around the actors, so you know what's going on. I feel like as a stage manager, you're a bit separated.
Yeah.
Is that scary, a little bit? Sometimes?
I always thought it was weird because as an apprentice, I always thought the stage managers were much closer with the actors than I was. But then being a stage manager afterwards, I was like, I don't actually think that's true. Because you're always in these separate meetings with the director and the designers, or you're in the booth or in the house during tech week, not backstage dealing with them and interacting as much.
Yeah, because the assistant and or apprentice are around them all the time. Yeah. And it's important to have a good stage management team because as an actor, if something goes wrong, you're the one who looks bad in front of a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to trust your tech team and your stage management. So anyways, just my perspective.
No, and that's true. And that's one thing why a lot of people don't realize the stage managers even exist is because they're never seen.
Yeah.
It's always the actors in front of you, which I know a lot of stage managers prefer. They like to be just those silent people in the background.
Well, that's... From what I hear, that's tech people in general.
Yeah.
They don't want to be seen. They just want to know that they did a good job. If people are happy, people are happy.
Yeah. And if the show runs smoothly, that's great.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
So I think you said earlier that your first professional experience was with Project X?
Yes.
Okay. How did that opportunity come up?
Well, being at TRU, we were working on a show, Tales of the Lost Formicans, directed by Robin Nickel. On that show, I was an ASM, and so I had been in the stage, I was currently in the stage management class.
Yeah.
And those students are the ASMs for the shows. During the show, we were still in rehearsals, but one of the actors, left the production, and due to timing and because our stage manager was also an actor and a really great one who also fit the role, she stepped in for the actor and took over, and she was amazing. She learned all the lines in like 24 hours. And so due to her stepping out of that role, they asked if I would fill in for her.
Yeah.
So I took over the show as stage manager. And because of how, I guess, well I did it, Robin Nickel gave me a positive review and suggested me to Derek when they were looking for their stage management team for the summer.
Really? And what shows was it?
Complete Works, Abridged, and Much Ado About Nothing.
So you were assisting or apprenticing with them?
I assisted stage managed for them.
And how was that?
It was the most fun I could have asked for. Like, great, two really different but great first shows.
Yeah.
Farces are always a blast, and Complete Works, like, kept you on your toes, kept you busy the entire time. Plus, doing outdoor theater, it was my first time, and it was so unpredictable, the weather and dealing with all of the elements that come with that. And then Much Ado About Nothing was the first time Project X had done a kids show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. It went over super well. It was always interesting having to deal with all the costume changes backstage while keeping an eye on making sure that the toddlers didn't crawl onto the stage.
And even then?
Even then, they still made it on, and the actors were great dealing with it. Being like, oh, let's take you back to your mommy now.
Well, I feel like you kind of have to be in a show like that.
Yeah.
Who was in that one?
It was Melissa Thomas, Shiana James, and Evelyn Chow. I may have Evelyn's name wrong, but...
Okay. I don't know Evelyn, but the other two are probably the perfect people to be in that type of show.
No, they are amazing. Like, they're great with kids, plus they're so, like, such great improvers that it made it wonderful.
So, the first time I worked with you was on Death of a Salesman, but you were supposed to stage manage, but you didn't spend a lot of time there because... you were working on a production with Western Canada Theatre called Noises Off. How did that opportunity present itself? Same kind of way, or...?
Yeah, it had to do with, again, the professors, and Western Canada Theatre was in need of an apprentice. And so they went to the university being like, do you have any suggestions of these people? And so my name was mentioned again. And then because of the experience with Project X, and lots of those cast members have relationships with Western Canada Theatre, either acting or otherwise. And so they had also gotten feedback from them. And so then they asked me if I would apprentice their show Noises Off. And the professors at TRU were amazing for accommodating that, because they're like, we want our students to move on to the professional world.
Exactly.
And this is great, because I was still, like, I was in my fourth year of university. I was like, I had full course load, but the professors helped rework it a bit and give me different deadlines. So there were some days where I still had to go to class for midterms and that, for theater and for my history classes.
Yeah.
So that was interesting balancing that. So I would go to rehearsal for Western Canada Theater from 9:30 till about 6:30,
mm-hmm.
and then go to the university and do rehearsals with you guys.
Yeah, show up halfway through with a juice box. We were all jealous.
If I had known that, I would have brought you guys all juice boxes.
Oh, God. I think it was more of something to make fun of you for.
Well, it was the only time to eat was on, like, the travel time, because as soon as I got there, I was like, this is business, gotta get caught up. And it wasn't halfway through, I only missed, like, the first half hour, hour.
But that show, that was, you still missed, like, 50 things that you had to write down. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, oh my God, there's so much blocking.
Yes. And your guys' choreography.
I tried to write it down. And then I've gone through since, going looking through that script on the blocking notes. It's like, oh, walk to G, sit down, be a clock. What does this mean? Hey, you're a big tough guy. Be an athlete. Stuff like that. It just.
I know that there is on that show. It really helped that we labeled the set differently.
Yeah.
Like came up with codes for the different areas. Because otherwise, we're like, go upstage right. No, no more. No, no on that platform. No, no, to your right.
No, no, up the stairs.
Yeah.
Oh, no, climb up the ladder.
Yeah.
Pace around more, I don't know. Now you guys are all asleep. Yes. that was a lot of fun. I'm making fun of it because I liked it. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't talk about it at all. So you sort of touched on this a little, but I want to get your full thoughts. If people want to pursue stage managing or anything like that, what advice would you give to them?
I would tell them to try and work with as many different stage managers as possible and with as many different companies as they can mm-hmm. before they join the union. So whether you're doing co-ops, community, or apprenticing, try a variety of stage managers, try a variety of companies, because it's much easier to get your name out and try these different places as an apprentice or just, like, as a freelancer before you join the union. Because mm-hmm. once you join the union, it's, one, it's more expensive to hire you. Two, they're like, well, if we have to pay this fee, why not go with someone we already know?
Yeah.
And this way, like, you get your name out there. You get to be like, oh, I like this company, or I don't like this company, or...
And you've worked with a bunch of different people, so, like, there's a chance that more people will know you.
Well, and I'm very lucky, because the stage managers I worked with were from all over the country.
Yeah.
Most of them were with Western Canada Theatre, Project X, or Shamanist Theatre Festival.
Yep.
But they were from all over the country. And I had some stage managers who primarily teach stage management,
mm-hmm.
some that primarily do outdoor festivals, some that do more corporate events, so like opening ceremonies to the Olympics, Calgary Stampede, more things like that. So it definitely gives you a different perspective on how to do things and how you want to pursue your career. Because it's also another thing that they don't really teach you about stage management, is that you can travel. You can travel all over. You can do that during, like, with tours or just by hopping from company to company, which is a great way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see and learn all these different methods. Because with stage management, there are better ways to do things, but there's no... necessarily right way.
There are wrong ways.
There's definitely wrong ways. But there's no, like, absolute this is right, there's no other way to do it. There's always other ways to do things.
Yeah.
And it's still, as theater changes and as society changes, like, there's also the way we stage manage changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now we have cell phones and emails, whereas one of the stage managers that I apprenticed under liked to remind me about having to call actors every day being like, this is your schedule for tomorrow, or not having easily accessible printers and having to just do everything by hand. I was like, way different perspective on stage management, like seeing it evolve. Yeah. I can imagine now, especially when you do larger shows, like the bigger the company is or production is, having to make all those phone calls. Like if you had 20 cast members plus musicians plus like
chorus
department heads, choruses, and you had to tell them all what the schedule was and not being able to just
conference
send
call.
It out. Yeah. Well, and then if you're calling someone, you want to like be like, oh, well, they have a baby at home, so I don't want to call after this time in case they're asleep or... Yeah, it would just... So many other factors.
In the past, stage managers didn't sleep is what I'm hearing.
Not from what I've been told.
Yeah, they just worked from dawn till dusk, then from dusk till dawn again.
Yes.
And they just keep going.
But sometimes
cycle.
It's still like that, because stage managers are always there.
Oh, you're always working.
Way before... Not necessarily way before, like half an hour to an hour before the actors arrive and half an hour to an hour after the actors leave, at least. So, it's always...
And now you can just type up an email instead of having to call every single one of them.
Yeah. If I had to call everyone, I think I would pass that duty off to my apprentice. Here you go. Thank
well, that
you.
Shit rolled downhill. And I think hearing about your experience... Another important thing is to make sure that every experience you have is a positive one. Not... Well, no, from what you were saying is a lot of jobs you got... Not a lot of jobs. The jobs you got at the beginning were from people saying good things about you to other people.
Yes, which is not something I ever anticipated with stage management. Actors, I was like, okay, well, it's a lot about how well they perform, how they fit these roles. That's great. With stage management, I was like, yeah, you send out a resume and that's it. It's like, look at your qualifications, yes or no. Whereas that is part of it, but a lot of it is how people like to work with you. And what your work ethic is like. And if how you work blends with how they direct.
Same with acting, too.
Yeah.
To a lesser extent, but it's like people have to like working with you.
Yes. Which, even throughout university, I never thought it would be as big of a thing as it is. Like, even opening nights when you're like, okay, well, I should probably go say hi to this person. Like, actors do it too. And they're like, oh, well, I'm a very quiet person. And then you see them being like, okay, I gotta go say hi to this person, this person, this person. Because I have to, like, make sure they know who I am and thank them. And it's the part of, like, the schmoozing that no one really teaches you. Like, I don't even feel that actors necessarily anticipate it.
You kind of just have to figure it out as you go.
Yeah, it always reminds me more of, like, PR or...
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, more agents or different corporations, how they would do it. Being like, okay, well, if I'm buddy-buddies with this guy, then I'll get this business deal.
It's like, well, if you see yourself as a product and a company, you have to advertise.
Yes.
Or you won't get sold.
That's
you have to sell yourself.
I find, though, I do appreciate how stage managers, we do send out resumes, and we do interviews.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do Skype interviews, group interviews, in person. But we don't have to audition. We don't have to memorize sides and songs, and then, like, go pour our heart out, and then wait for the phone call.
It's just standing up. In front of a table of people that are sitting down staring at you? If you had to call a show doing that, would you be able to?
I would be incredibly nervous.
Well, I mean, actors are too.
Yeah.
You have to be nervous, otherwise you don't care.
Yeah.
So that means you give a shit.
My first interview was a Skype interview with a panel of four ladies. Wonderful professionals and just wonderful people.
Yeah.
But it was the most intimidating interview I could have ever done. But at the same time, there was scenarios they asked, there was questions, there was troubleshooting. Like, I remember taking notes afterwards, trying to remember everything they asked me and how I responded and what they liked and didn't like, because I was like, this is a great learning tool. Because I was like, no other time am I probably going to be interviewed by four of the most powerful stage managers. So.
Well, yeah, and it's, if you're able to aim the conversation in the right ways, you can learn a lot from them.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Well, I think I have nothing else. So I'd like to thank Skylar Nakazawa for joining me and Kit Kat for wandering around. If you were hearing a ringing or a jingling, that was the cat.
Well, thank you for having us both on.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. I hope everyone learned something. And remember, until next time, practice makes perfect and Chimera makes podcasts.